تذكروا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Then to continue with Sharh Sunnah of Imam Al-Barbahari rahimahullah, the last time we had points number 87 and 88. So just to briefly mention some of the points that we had, then the first of the points was with regard to buying and selling, al-bay' wa-shira, engaging in trade, simple buying and selling, or the like. And we had the point that buying and selling are lawful. They are Islamically permissible, as long as the conditions for correctness of a transaction are present in that transaction. The conditions for transaction to be correct are present, and there's nothing in the transaction that makes it forbidden. Then it will be correct. Unless it is free from deception, oppression, and trickery. If it is free from the like of that, then it will be correct. Then point number 88 was briefly that a person, a believer, should proceed between fear and hope. He should combine the fear and hope. Al-khawf wal-raja. He should have both of these. He should not be a person who just has fear without hope. So his fear is so extreme that he gives up all hope of Allah's mercy and therefore despairs. Nor should he just have hope, so much hope, that he has no concern and no worry about himself, and he feels secure from Allah's plan, Allah's makr, his plan or plot. It should not be the case either. Rather, he should combine fear and hope and proceed upon that basis. And Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he mentioned with regard to the makr of Allah, literally plot of Allah, then he mentioned linguistically that makr, rahmatullah, linguistically makr, plotting, then there is from makr, plotting, that which is praiseworthy, and there is that which is blameworthy. And he mentioned that what it refers to in the language is seeking to cause harm to come upon someone in a secret way, in a way that that person does not perceive, does not realize, trying to harm him without him realizing, finding a way to get that harm to come upon him without him realizing. So Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that with regard to Allah the Most High, then makr is entirely praiseworthy. Allah the Most High plots against those who deserve, those evildoers who plot evil. Then as a recompense for their evil, Allah plots against them. So this is just, and this is fair, and this is something praiseworthy. So they get their just recompense. And as for the plotting of the creation, then that involves injustice. That the creation seek to harm each other unjustly, in a secret manner. And this is blameworthy plotting. As for the plotting of Allah the Most High, then it is something that is praiseworthy. He plots against those who plot. Those who plot evil, he plots against them, as a recompense for them, which is fully just and fair. Also, Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned the point that a person should not feel secure for himself, but he shouldn't go to the other extreme of despair. And he mentioned, as a proof for both, the hadith of As-Sadiq al-Masduq, the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, towards the end of which it's mentioned about a person, that a person may do the deeds of paradise. He may do the deeds of a person of paradise until there is only between him and it a cubit. And then he acts with the actions of the people of the fire. What was written for him overcomes him. And he acts with the actions of the people of the fire, and he enters it on account of his evil deeds that he does at the end as his conclusion. And the opposite also being mentioned, that a person may act with the actions of the people of the fire until there is only a cubit between him and it. Then what was written for him overcomes him, and he acts with the actions of the people of paradise, and therefore he enters it on account of his deeds, what he actually does himself. Then Sheikh Al-Fawzan made the point that in general, as he mentioned, a person should have both fear and hope. However, at the point of death, while a person is dying, then he should have good thoughts. What should overcome there is that he should have good thoughts and good expectations with regard to Allah the Most High, but also fear his sins. Because at the point of death, as Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, a point of death, a person is dying, almost taking his last breath, then his possibility of doing deeds has been removed. He can't really act, can't really do anything at that time. All that's left is to sincerely repent and to have good expectations with regard to his Lord. He said, so the scholars say that in health, when a person is in a state of health, he's able to act, then he should have both hope and fear, but fear should predominate. Fear should be a bit more, somewhat more, while he is in a state of health. Why? So that his fear will lead him into increasing upon good deeds. He fears, so he does more good deeds. He does good. And when dying, then hope, that's the time for hope to be predominant. And the point that people will not be rewarded or punished except on account of their deeds. They'll not receive reward, will not receive punishment, except on account of their having committed deeds, whether they're good or bad. Then Imam al-Barbahari just a technical point with the sound system. I'm told there's a technical point. They can't really increase the sound any more than it is. So anyone who can't hear behind the wall or anything, then the sound can't really be increased any more than it is. There's some sort of a technical problem. So then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he continued on what occurs here on page 417, with point number 89, the saying of Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, والإيمان بأن الله تعالى أطلع نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم على ما يكون في أمته إلى يوم القيامة. He's saying, رحمه الله, and to have iman that Allah the Most High showed his Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم what was going to occur in his nation until the day of resurrection. And there's a small side point here where it mentions that Allah, bi anna Allah ta'ala, in some of the versions it has, bi anna Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah the Exalted and Most High. That's a slight one additional word, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Sheikh Al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said in explanation, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not know the ghaib. He does not know the hidden and unseen. And no one from the created beings knows the hidden and unseen, the ghaib. قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Surah An-Naml, the 27th Surah, Ayah 65, with the explanation. Say, no one in the heavens or on the earth knows the hidden and unseen, except Allah. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, and Al-Ghayb, hidden, unseen, al-ghayb, is that which is hidden from us. Whether it be in the past or in the future, we do not know it. However, the Prophets, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, Allah shows them something from the hidden and the unseen for the benefit of the da'wah, for the benefit of the calling, of the call to Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And from them was our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for Allah showed him some of the matters of the unseen, and he sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed of them for the benefit of the nation. He the Most High said, عالم الغيب فلا يظهر على غيبه أحدا إلا من ارتضى من رسول. Surah Al-Jinn, the 72nd Surah, Ayahs 26 to 27. With the explanation that Allah is the knower of the unseen, so He does not reveal what He has kept hidden to anyone, except to a messenger whom He is pleased with. Shaykh Fawzan said, explaining, إِلَّا مَنْ يَرْتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولٍ, except to one He is pleased with, who is a messenger, except to a messenger He is pleased with, he said, meaning that Allah shows to him whatever He, the Perfect and Most High, wishes. For example, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was walking along with his companions, and they passed by two graves. So he said, إِنَّهُمَا لَيُعَذَّبَانِ. He said, these two are certainly being punished. These two in the graves that they were passing by. These two are certainly being punished. They mention in the footnote, the reference reported by Al-Bukhari, and you'll find it there in his Sahih as Hadith number 218, and reported by Muslim as Hadith number 292, from a Hadith of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhumah. Shaykh Fawzan said, the companions were not aware that the two inhabitants of those graves were being punished. Allah revealed it to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah revealed to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam the punishment of the two deceased. So he said, إِنَّهُمَا لَيُعَذَّبَانِ. These two are certainly being punished. This was something which Allah made him aware of. And this was from the khasa'is. It was from the matters specific to the messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, and Allah made him aware of events that were going to occur in the future. And he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, informed us about the signs of the hour, Ashrat al-Sa'ah, the signs of the last hour. He informed us about the fitan, the trials and tribulations, in order that we should beware and have fear lest these matters come upon us, so that we could be upon clear insight. He informed us for our benefit, from the angle of warning, so that we could safeguard ourselves. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, وَسَتَفْتَرِقُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةُ عَلَى 73 فِرْقَةً كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَاحِدَةً. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also said, this nation will split into 73 sects. All of them will be in the fire except one. In the footnote, they mention the checking of this has proceeded, and it will follow in the next point, inshallah, also. And he said, this was news from him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that splitting would occur in the nation. And it occurred just as he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, informed. So that we should remain firm upon the truth and not go off along with those who contradict the truth. That's where Sheikh Fawzan ends explanation of this point. Then just briefly before moving on, or just a few points before moving on, then firstly, with regard to the main point that Allah the Most High shows his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what will occur, that he showed him what will occur in this nation until the day of resurrection. And the reference for this, as some of the verifiers mentioned, is a hadith reported by Al-Bukhari as hadith 6604, and reported by Muslim as hadith 2891 from a hadith of Hudhaifa radiallahu anhu, who said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us an address, a khutbah. He did not leave anything out of it that will happen until the establishment of the hour, except that he mentioned it. Whoever knew of it, knew it, and whoever was ignorant of it, was ignorant of it. And I used to see things happening which I had forgotten. So then I would recognize them, just as a man recognizes when something has been absent from him. Then when he sees it again, he recognizes it. So that's the reference for the hadith, for the main point. Also on this point, Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, he made an important point also. He said, with regard to this point, that Allah the Most High made his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam aware, he showed him things that would happen in his nation until the day of resurrection. Sheikh Ahmad said, I say, this saying contains some degree of generality. So Allah the Perfect and Most High did not show his Prophet everything that was going to occur in his nation until the day of resurrection. Because this is from the Ilmul Ghayb, the knowledge of the hidden and unseen, which is specific to the Lord of might and majesty. I mean, everything that was going to happen, this is from the Ghayb, that is specific to the Lord. I mean, everything is specific to the Lord of might and majesty. However, he showed him some events and some matters that were going to occur. And therefore, there occurs in the two Sahihs from a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the graveyard. And he said, As-salamu alaykum dara qawmin mu'mineen wa inna insha'allahu bikum lahikoon. That Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the graveyard and said, gave the greeting, may Allah grant you security, O believing people, and we will, if Allah wills, be joining you. Then he said, I would have loved that I would have seen my brothers. So they said, the companions said, are we not your brothers, O Messenger of Allah? So he said, you are my companions, and my brothers are those who have not yet come. So they said, the companions, how will you recognize those who have not yet come from your nation, O Messenger of Allah? He said, do you see if a man had some horses with white marks upon their heads and their arms, and they were amongst some dark horses, would he not recognize his own horses? So they said, yes indeed, O Messenger of Allah. He said, then they will come with white marks on account of the wudu, and I will precede you to the Hawd, the great reservoir. Indeed, some men will be repelled away from my reservoir, just as a stray camel is repelled away. I will call to them, come, so it will be said, they changed after you. So then I will say, Sohkan, Sohkan, be away, be far away. Hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Initially, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will think that they're from his people and call them. Then he'll be made aware that after you they changed things. He didn't know that. Sheikh Ahmad said, so this is a proof that he was not informed of everything that would occur in his nation, but rather he was informed of some things which had a serious effect. Some things that were going to have a serious effect. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed of some of that, just as is written in the books of the Sunnah. And that does not mean that he became aware of everything that was going to occur in his nation, and everything that would occur amongst them and to them, as is believed by some people. He said, and I have researched this matter in my refutation of Ibn al-Hajj, in the book Awdahul Ishara fi Raddi ala man ajaz al-mamnu' min al-ziyara, the clear indication in refutation of those who allow and make permissible the forbidden type of visitation of graves. The book of the Sheikh is available. He said, so refer to that treatise because it is beneficial in its topic. And that is from the bounty and beneficence of Allah. And his grant of success. And beware, O student of knowledge, of being slow or being too lazy to digest this matter. Because it is something that has great importance. And by researching it and understanding it, you can become free from the beliefs of shirk. And you can come to know the position of the Salaf well in this matter, and Allah is the one who grants success. Then finally on this point, Shaykh As-Suhaimi, Hafidhullah, he summarized this point by saying that the ghaib, the hidden and the unseen, is of two categories. And he mentioned firstly there's ghaib al-mutlaq, that which is totally hidden and unseen. He said, and that is known only to Allah. Nobody else knows it. He said, the ghaib, the hidden and the unseen, is of two categories. Ghaibun mutlaq, that which is totally hidden and unseen. And ghaibun nisbi, that which is partially hidden and unseen. So he said, that which is partially hidden and unseen refers to that which Allah has made his prophets aware of. Just as He the Most High said, عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَىٰ غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا إِلَّا لِمَنْ يَرْتَضَىٰ مِنْ رَسُولٍ, the ayah that came at the beginning. The ayah from Surah Al-Jinn, 72nd Surah, ayahs 26 to 27. With the explanation that Allah the Most High is the knower of the hidden and unseen. So He does not reveal that which is kept hidden to anyone, except to a messenger whom He is pleased with. He said, Shaykh al-Suhaimi, so the ghaib al-mutlaq, that which is unrestrictedly hidden and unseen, is something specific to Allah. And the partial hidden, of the ghaib al-misbi, that which is partially hidden and unseen, is that which He made His prophets aware of. Then there comes the next point, point number 90, the saying of Imam al-Barrahari, rahimahullah, وَأَلَمْ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَالْ سَتَفْتَرِكُ أُمَّتِي عَلَى 73 فِرْقَةً كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَاحِدَةً وَهِيَ الْجَمَاعَةِ قِيلَ مَنْ هُمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالْ مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمُ وَأَصْحَابِي. And know that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my nation will divide into 73 sects. All of them shall be in the fire, except one. And it is the Jama'ah, the united body upon the truth. It was said, who are they, O Messenger of Allah? He said, that which I and my companions are upon today. Before moving on, then, the reference for this is its hadith reported by At-Tirmidhi, as hadith 2641, and by Al-Hakim, and by others, Al-Lalika'i in As-Sunnah, and by others besides, from a hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhumah. And Sheikh Al-Albani mentioned that this hadith is hasan. It has supporting narrations for this wording, this final wording, and declared it hasan. Sheikh Al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said in explanation, his saying, وَأَلَمْ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَالْ سَتَفْتَرِكُ أُمَّتِي عَلَى 73 فِرْقَةً كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَاحِدَةً وَهِيَ الْجَمَاعَةِ. And you should know that Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, my nation will divide into 73 sects, all of them in the fire except one, and it is al-Jama'ah, the united body upon the truth. Sheikh Fawzan said, Allah the Majestic and Most High commanded us to unite, to be from ijtima', to unite upon the truth, to unite upon the truth. وَعَتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 103, with the explanation, and cling together to the rope of Allah, and do not separate. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Surah Al-An'am, the 6th surah, ayah 159, with the explanation. Those who split up their religion and become sects, you are free of them. You have nothing to do with them. Their affair is just with Allah. Then He will inform them of what they used to do. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 105, with the explanation. And do not be like those who split and differed after the clear signs had come to them. And they are the ones for whom will be a tremendous punishment. Sheikh Fawzan said, so he forbade us from splitting, and he commanded us with uniting and with adhering, with clinging on to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger. So he said, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِئُوهُ وَلَا تَأْتَبِئُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. Surah Al-An'am, the 6th surah, ayah 153, with the explanation. And this is my straight way, so follow it, and do not follow the divergent paths. For they will lead you, they will split you and lead you away from His path. Sheikh Fawzan said, so it is not permissible to split and differ on account of desires or on account of taqlid, blindly following fathers and forefathers, or as a result of blindly following the Jews and the Christians. Differing is not permissible in the matters of aqidah, creed and belief, and in the fundamentals of the religion. Rather, it is obligatory to agree and to be united with regard to it. Or it's obligatory to agree and to unite upon it. As for differing in matters of fiqh, in issues of fiqh, then this occurs. However, it is obligatory to refer, or it is obligatory to return and refer back to those sayings which the proof establishes. in Masul Fiqh differences occur, no doubt. However, even there, it is obligatory to refer those sayings, to refer back to those sayings, which the proof establishes. He, the Most High, said, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, ayah 59, with the explanation. So if you dispute about anything, then refer it back to Allah and to the Messenger. Refer it back to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger. If you truly believe in Allah and in the Last Day, that is better and finer in its outcome. Sheikh Fawzan said, therefore, ikhtilaf, differing in aqidah, creed and belief, is not permissible. Because aqidah, creed and belief is tawqifiyya, reliant upon text. It is not a place for ijtihad, scholarly deduction. But as for the matters of fiqh, the issues of fiqh, and istinbat, deduction of rulings, then in that case, each one of the people in that matter, each one of the people of knowledge who are suitable to perform ijtihad, can strive to deduce rulings. And they may differ in their outlooks. However, they should not just remain upon their differing. Rather, they should refer back to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger. So whoever has proof, then they should follow him and take his saying and leave their own opinions. This is the position of the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah. And this is what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guided us to, or he directed us to. As for our saying, leave the people and let everyone have his own opinion, and the differing of the nation is a mercy, as they say, the Sheikh said. As for these two sayings here, leave the people, let everyone have his own opinion, and differing of the nation is a mercy, as they say. Then we say, هَذَا بَاطِلُ, this is false and futile. Allah the Majestic and Most High says, وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ. Surah Hud, the 11th Surah, Ayahs 118 to 119, with the explanation, and they will continue to disagree, except for those whom your Lord has mercy upon. And they will continue disagreeing, except for those whom your Lord has mercy upon. Sheikh Fawzan said, so he's saying, إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ, إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ, the explanation, except for those whom your Lord has mercy upon, indicates that those whom Allah has mercy upon do not differ, and that differing is a punishment, Azab, and it is not a mercy, a rahmah. Mercy is for those who do not differ. Then he said, and if they do differ, then they refer back to the Book and the Sunnah, and they take what is correct, and they leave what is mistaken, what is wrong. This is the way of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But as for each one remaining upon his own opinion, and what so-and-so said, and so-and-so, then this is not the way of the Muslims. This is the way of the Ahlul Ahwa, of the innovated sects, and the people of Shahawat, the followers of desires. They search for whatever sayings will conform to their desires, and whatever will conform to what they want, and whatever differs with their desires, they abandon it. Even if the Imam, whom they say that they take his saying, says it, anything that goes against what they actually want, they reject it. Even if it's from an Imam that they claim to be following, they say, we take his we follow his sayings. Meaning, they do not accept from the sayings of the Imams and the scholars except what is in accordance with their desires. And as for what contradicts their desires, then they reject it. So this is a proof that they are just following their own desires. Whatever conforms with their desires, they accept it. And whatever is contrary to their desires, they abandon it. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And there is no movement and no ability except with the aid of Allah. He said, and this is what is called out to now. This is what is called to nowadays in the newspapers and magazines and meetings and conferences, mostly, and upon the channels. They promote disagreement. And they say, we are just making things open and easy for the people. Sheikh Fawzan said, with what are we making things open and easy for the people? With abandonment of the book and the sunnah. And with going along with sayings whose people are not secure from error. Those who make errors sometimes and are correct sometimes. Whereas they, meaning the Imams of the past, they forbade us from taking their sayings, except what accords with the proof. They forbade us from taking their sayings, which run contrary to the proof. So this is a matter which it is obligatory to be aware of, because the people today have been put to trial on account of those people who confuse things for the people. And he said, so he's saying, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَالْ سَتَفْتَرِكُ أُمَّتِي عَلَى 73 فِرْقَةٍ كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَاحِدَةٍ. And you should know that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my nation will split into 73 sects, all of them will be in the fire except one. Sheikh Fawzan said, this hadith is authentic when its chains of narration are gathered, and its many narrations. And the Imams report it in their works and speak in praise of it. And actual circumstances testify to its truth. So he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, informed that this nation of Muhammad will split into 73 sects. And these are the major fundamental sects. And there are actually more than these sects. These are the usul, these are the major fundamental sects. These are major, the 72 here being referred to, are the major underlying ones from which others branch off. He said, all of them will be in the fire, meaning the 72. All of them will be in the fire, except for one. And it is the 73rd one, which is that which is upon the like of what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions were upon. So it is what will be saved from the fire, and therefore they are called al-firqatun najiyah, the saved sect, and they are called ahlus sunnah wal jama'ah, the people of the sunnah and the jama'ah, the united body upon the truth. And whatever is beside them, then they are opposers to the truth, under the threat of the hellfire. So from them, from the 72, so from them will be those who enter the fire on account of disbelief, kufr. And from them will be those who enter the fire on account of fisk, evil doing. And from them will be those who enter the fire on account of ma'asiyah, sin, disobedience. They are not all the same with regard to their entering the fire. So it is not to be taken from this hadith that these sects, all of them, are disbelievers. He's saying, وَهِيَ الْجَمَاعَةِ, and it is the jama'ah, the united body. Sheikh Fawzan said, al-jama'ah, the united body, is whoever is upon the truth, even if it is a single person. This is the Jama'ah, the united body. As for Al-Kathra, as for being numerous on its own, just merely a group being numerous, then this on its own does not indicate the truth. He the Most High said, وَإِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ Surah Al-An'am, the 6th Surah, Ayah 116, with the explanation. And if you were to obey most of those upon the earth, they will lead you astray from the path of Allah. And He the Most High said, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ Surah Yusuf, the 12th Surah, Ayah 103, with the explanation, and most of mankind, even if you eagerly wish, will not be believers. وَمَا وَجَدْنَا لِأَكْثَرِهِمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ وَإِنْ وَجَدْنَا أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَفَاسِقِينَ Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th Surah, Ayah 102, with the explanation. We have not found most of them to be true to their covenant. We have found most of them to be disobedient ones. Sheikh Fawzan said, so being numerous is not what is counted. What is counted is those who are upon the truth, even if they are few in number, even if it is a single person, then he will be the Jama'ah, the body upon the truth. He finished by saying, he's saying, قِيلَ مَنْ هُمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالْ مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمَ وَأَصْحَابِي He said, he's saying, it was said, who are they, O Messenger of Allah? He said, that which I and my companions are upon today. Sheikh Fawzan said, this is the correct path. That which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions were upon, or those who are upon, that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions were upon, that is the Jama'ah. They are the Jama'ah, the united body upon the truth. والحمد لله وصلى الله على محمد سبحانه اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك